Okay, all right, Johan, start my...
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, can all commissioners see and hear? Sign with a hand up? Yes.
See.
Okay, excellent. Can all members of the public see and hear? I believe that's Jeff Barnes. All right, and Eric. Hey, Eric. All right. This meeting is being recorded. When I call the roll, please take your position to report. I can never take the report. All right, Lisa, it's all yours.
Okay, I call the September 15, 2020 regular board meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll at the time.
Right, 7:01. Commissioner Ludden?
Yes, and you have my permission to record.
Commissioner Underdog?
Yes, and with permission.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes, permission to record.
Commissioner Kobe?
Present and with permission to record.
President Brooks?
Yes, permission to record.
Excellent.
Okay, consent agenda items. A through C are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda items?
Yeah, I would appreciate that.
No? Okay, I entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda items as presented.
So moved.
So moved.
Can I get a second?
Second.
Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdog?
Yes.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Mr. Colby?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. Okay, matters from the public. It's our practice not to address questions at this time. However, we will take comments under advisement. For our posted policy during the coronavirus crisis, comments may be submitted via email to Lisa Shepherd prior to the meeting. Lisa Shepherd, please read any public comment received via email.
We did not receive any emails directed for the board meeting. I did send you two messages regarding something on the agenda today for a comment on the sign. So did everybody get those?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. And is there anyone who would like to make a verbal comment? If so, limit your comments to 3 minutes per person. Bart? No?
No comments. Just watching. Thank you.
Very good. All righty. Then we would like to now move to the financial report. 6 months of the fiscal year complete. Please provide a synopsis of the reports.
Sure. So included in your packet is a three-year comparison, both as of July 31st and August 31st, because we did not have a regular meeting. It was early in August. A couple of points to note on that is that our rec programs, actually, we increased the surplus substantially, almost by $90,000 from July 31st to August 31st. A big note with the daycare program, in July we had three payrolls. August, by the end of August 31st, we went from July to $107,000 deficit to August, a $55,000 surplus. Due in part, a large part, but to the grant that was secured by Bobby and Jess Stockel. But that comparison of $55,000 in surplus compares to 2019 at $53,000 in surplus. So really, really looking good. I know we're fully back to getting close to $145,000 in revenues for daycare. And I know there is a possibility for Jess to get additional grant money. So looking very positive. The beach, as of the end of August, still we had a surplus of about $85,000. Of course, we have utilities and salaries and the G&A transfer to come through the rest of the year, but definitely looks like we will be lower than what we budgeted, which I think is a deficit of around $90,000, $100,000. So from a financial perspective, it really looked good over the course of the July and August months. I also included in your packet.
Sorry, Carol, this is one of the, I meant to ask you this beforehand, and we should have started this way. We got six notes from Jenny, can you just tell us what page you're on in the packet so I can walk through it?
39.
Thank you, because I'm still in blurry land. Okay, 39, thank you.
Okay. But then I've also included, and I think Jenny, it's attached to my division report. It's the report that looks like this. It's a projection of our fund balance through the end of the fiscal year based on what we know right now or what we're interpreting for the remainder of the 6 months as far as what our fund balance levels will look like, both from an operational perspective and a capital perspective. And both of them are looking very good at this point in time. A couple of things I just want to highlight. You'll remember in our fund balance projection, we talked about using a very conservative value of 80% for tax receipts of the second installment. We actually have received to date 85% of those installments, and I do think that we will get a lot the end of this month because October 1 is the start of the penalty, the late penalty that people start to pay. So I'm anticipating that that will go over 90%, and again, the projection right now that's included is only at 80%. So it's very positive. Also included is the grant money that the daycare program secured for us, as well as the $69,000 in the capital side of it for the peer reimbursement from Panderma, which we were not expecting. And then also very favorable results that Eric will talk to later in, as a part of the agenda with the bond issuance. So I'm really comfortable. I know there are some things that obviously with Watts and our discussion from a staff level is happening later on this week. The winter program registration, really, it's going to be very dependent on what happens at the school district, and that could sway revenues quite a bit one way or the other. So that's still an unknown. But our fund balance levels, because they were so strong, at this point, using the projections in this schedule, we're actually looking to be right on target with what we were anticipating with the budget at the end of the fiscal year. Now,
Sorry, Carol. Jenny, what page is that schedule on?
66.
Thank you.
Well, if you look from an operational
perspective.
Pardon?
Chris is hired as the channel.
From an operational perspective, we were planning to have on hand at the end of the fiscal year, is February 2021, $6.518 million, and we're right now with our projections a little over $6.67 million. So, despite the pandemic, you know, we have lost revenues, but we've also not expended monies related to programs and really looked in other parts of our operations. So, I'm feeling very, very confident at this time. And of course, you know, believe it or not, we're starting the budget process almost right now this next month, and starting with trying to project out and get a clearer idea of where we might end up by fund balance levels on the fund level. So looking at the corporate fund, the recreation fund, and then all the minor funds. And right now I'm thinking corporate's looking pretty good. Again, it's going to depend on what we do with but recreation is really holding its own, and it's just like we saw with daycare. We're right on target with what we were doing last year at this time. So I'll open it up if you have any questions.
I may have missed this, but she mentioned that Virginia gave us money for the peer. I may have missed that, because I don't remember hearing that. So I know we were trying to get insurance to cover stock. How much did they cover?
Chris, you want to answer that because you don't.
So they advanced us 50% of the value of their perceived value of the claim. So they gave us, I think it's $69,000, Carol, something like that.
Yep.
And I believe there's another, it's either $55,000 or $60,000 payable after the project is completed. So it'll be over $100,000 paid to us via Panderma once we have the pier repaired in some fashion. They know that we're not looking to duplicate the plastic decking, so it's not contingent on doing it the exact same way that it was.
And do we have a cost for that project yet?
We do not. We're working on it.
Do we know when we're going to start that?
We, in the committee meeting in March, the board had consensus and directed Lisa to bring on a consultant because it was under her purchasing limit. We've done that now since we've opened since the pandemic, and now we're moving forward with that consultant to develop a plan.
That's good. Thank you. I thought I missed something, but so.
Lisa, you're muted. Lisa Shepherd is muted.
Thank you. I just forget that part. We will probably talk in the spring. So we'll work on a standards board this winter and open spring something depending on the miles after the big, you know, we usually get storms in May, April, May, so after that. So it'll probably be closer to June. End of May, June to middle of May, all depending on the weather and the water levels. That's fair to say.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Okay. Good question.
Question?
Yes,
Dudley? Question? Yes. Thank you. When do we think we'll hear on the TACF grant? Or not TACF, I'm saying Watts grant.
The FAR grant? They've now pushed that out to November, December, earliest. So they keep on pushing it back.
Okay. Any other questions for Carol? Or did we interrupt you, Carol? And did you
want to say? No. All done.
Okay. Anything else for Carol?
Just Carol. Thank you very much for the additional information. I found it really helpful.
I did too. Thank you. Okay. Then we're going to move on to. Reports, and first up is Carol for Business.
Sure. So a big part of this last month, obviously, was the bond sale and the bond issuance that's on the agenda for later approval, and I'm going to delay that until discussion at that time with Eric. But really, it's just a lot of what we just talked about is what we're continuing to refine and change as we know more. And we'll continue to do that every month and give the update to the board. Hard to believe, but we're starting also looking at levy projections for next year. And so that's going to be on the board meeting agenda for October 6th. And as I said, starting the budget process already for next year. It's kind of hard, but we have to start the process now and be open and flexible and I really think, you know, keep hopeful that we'll have the vaccine, but we have to plan for different scenarios as a part of that as well. So more information forthcoming as we get more into that budget process. That's really all I have from my end. I also included just in your packet for your reading pleasure the complete presentation that we made to Moody's in August. Just so you can kind of see what was presented to them when we did get our rating back from them, which again we'll talk to more later on in the board meeting about that.
Okay, anything for Carol? All right, let's move to the recreation and facilities.
Absolutely. So fall program is in full swing. Outdoor programming has been popular compared to indoor programming. Obviously, people are more keen to stay outdoors while the weather is nice. So if you're here after school during the week, you'll see that the Take a Field is programmed like crazy. There's all sorts of different activities going on out there. So it's really great to see. We hope to see a shift as the weather changes a little colder for some more demand for indoor programming. But outdoor right now is really taking over compared to indoor. We are planning for fall part two, which will be later in the fall. So kind of after our October, our November, December, we're going to do another fall part two brochure for people to sign up for enrichment and after school programming. So staff is starting to work on that. The beach, we had a slow week for the first time probably all summer last week. It was horrible weather, but it was a nice break for the beach team. So we didn't see any real attendance. We did see some people down there today, and we expect tomorrow, the next 4 or 5 days, we expect to be kind of slow with the weather forecast. Again, the beach closes for the season September 27th. The boathouse will close October 11th. It will be open on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays with limited hours for those few more weeks. Staff is working on basketball planning. We're trying to come up with what that's going to look like with the changing environment. We're also looking to come up with our plan for WATS, which we'll present to the board on October 6th. A lot of time and effort has already gone into that, a lot of great ideas. Obviously, it's still a moving target, but we look forward to presenting that. Daycare is going well. If you saw on the report, we said that we would give an update on the wait list. It's still pretty significant for daycare. We have been exploring other options, and nothing has come up yet as a kind of viable option to expand the program. The grant, our check arrived, as Carol alluded to. Our e-learning enrichment camp, which is part of Kids Club, is going very well. We feel like we're really getting into our stride. Kids are really starting to be self-directed at the program, which is great. So they're really starting to understand what the e-learning is all about. We have a movie at Berlin on September 25th. In honor of Superheroes Day, we're doing Captain Marvel. So if anyone's interested, please stop by at 8 o'clock on Berlin, the last movie we have. The weather was perfect, and hopefully we get the same again. So we're all looking forward to that. We're also working on our Halloween event, too. So we'll have that out for the detail that community in the next couple of days. Anybody have any questions for me?
I just have one thing to note. I have to say, every time I've gone to visit the beach this summer, someone from the public has stopped me and tell me how wonderful our staff are, how polite they are, how patient they are. So it all goes back to the proper hiring and training. But they're, as we come to close in that season, they had to go through some really difficult times, and I tell you, they're wonderful. And I've had that same experience every time I went down there. So there's not a time I haven't gone down there. Kudos to Jessica and her team, and then Stephanie and her team. Virtual learning for the e-learning camp was very difficult to get everything up and running, and they were very patient and worked out all the troubleshooting and are off to a good start. So let's hope everybody stays healthy and that we can continue that program. And same with daycare and the preschools that started stepping up. They've been doing a great job. If you look at our camp, we went through a whole camp season without any illness. So that goes a lot to say about our procedures and our cleaning and our safety protocols. So kudos to the whole record facility team. They're doing a great job. And to Chris's team for all the extra cleaning they're doing to ensure that we have the safest facility possible. So anybody else? I got to play with soapbox.
Are you working with the village or what's the coordination?
For Halloween? Huh? We always do our own thing on Halloween. We always do our Halloween so we're not prepared to give a full screen yet, but it will be an outdoor event. It'll be the day before Halloween today. And then can you guys hear me?
Lean back
a little bit. Like this? Is that better?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. So
don't tip over backwards.
Yeah, really. The village is I don't know what they have made a decision on what they're doing for Halloween yet, but that's Halloween. We'll do it the day before. Our event will be outside. We're still working on all the details for it.
Okay. I'm glad to hear because I wasn't sure what was going to happen. A lot of people are already talking about it, sending texts and talking about if there's going to be trick-or-treating and all that stuff. So it's nice to see if we can pull something off outside. I think the community is really going to appreciate it.
Yeah, that's what Bobby and I just talked today, to get something out sooner rather later, even if it's just a save the date and more details will come. So they'll have it out by the end of the week, after early next week. At least a glimpse of what it'll look like. So they're being very creative because really reinventing that whole event to make it safe for everyone. And I'm sure the village is going to make their announcement soon, too. I know I talked to Phil about it, but I don't know if they have settled on what exactly they're doing. So
I'm sure they've seen. There's crazy Facebook pages of people forming their own thing, and it's turning into a whole thing. So it's better if it's directed by the village. I'm sure they've getting our weird at.
Because
we see a lot of weird Facebook pages going.
They've been talking about it for the last month or so, so they're, I'm sure they're, you know, trying to make it, trying to do whatever. They did talk to us a while ago to make sure that we weren't doing anything on Saturday morning of Halloween, so that it doesn't interfere with whatever they're doing. So we went to Friday. It was perfect. So anything else?
Anything else for Bobby?
I just wanted to report on a conversation I had with a resident, Bobby, who observed, I thought somewhat poignantly, that over the last generation or two, we've trained ourselves to be indoor people, and that maybe it wouldn't be that hard to push us more in the direction of being outdoor people. So as you think about the programming for the second half of the fall and even the early winter, I suspect you might get more take up on outdoor programs that you wouldn't have done last year, that you know, might be more popular than they would have been if you'd done this
year. Yeah. Couldn't there be more? We think if Watts is going to be open this year, which we hope, it's ice skating and outdoor programs like that are going to be extremely popular. So we are, I know our team is definitely looking at what options we have for innovative ideas to get people outdoors. We've had people take programs they never would have taken before COVID, so that'd be nice if you'd like to agree more.
Nice program diversity. As far as WADS, this team's going to bring to the October committee meeting some options for the board to discuss with the operations of WADS this year. So we're finalizing the plan. We've been meeting for the last couple weeks and talking about that, so we'll bring that to you at that committee meeting, just to go over all different options and get your input. So look for that at that meeting.
Quick question for Bobby. Are you doing any survey outreach to the Watts community, the contacts that you have, to get a read on how their comfort level and their expectations for the season?
So we've done some preliminary on our permanent renters, which form a large part of the revenue that comes in with the facility. So we've contacted all of them. We have not done anything yet with our pass holders. So kind of a chicken and egg situation. We don't want to overpromise. Then when you tend to put something out there, people start reading into it and start generating their own ideas. So we have to be careful with that. We have definitely heard through the grapevine, anecdotally, that people really are excited about Watts, and they couldn't imagine it not opening. So everything we've heard has been positive, but that's anecdotal.
So we'll talk in way more detail in October.
I will say a success each season. I mean, these things build on themselves. People realize that they can take advantage of what our community offers, and I think it sort of breaks that seal. People feel they're, you know, either inside or going elsewhere for their services. And so a successful beach season, I think, will just spill over to whatever comes next. Okay. If nothing else, then let us move to Parks and Maintenance, Chris.
Michael.
Bobby, I will echo what Josh said, and I think looking at all of our facilities and how we can optimize them for the winter would be great. Lisa, I know a couple of years ago, and I think every year we do it, the doggy thing on the beach. There's no reason why we couldn't do that more frequently. After the beach closes, bring the dogs down to the beach. More people have gotten dogs as well, and so we don't have a dog park, so I think things like that, people outside, would be great. So I really like the idea of thinking, either taking the things that we have that we've done one-offs and making them more regular, or finding new ways to get people outside. Great.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys have talked about this too. Like, you know, the mud run was such a great event for us. Obviously, we can't do that, but maybe something to snow or somewhere where it's more, you know, some kind of competition where it's outside and you're not too close to each other or things like that.
Yeah, like I could see like a relay, like where you pass the baton and do kind of get some teams and go throughout Glencoe, where the only sort of interaction is 2 seconds passing the baton and then you move on. But like I love the idea that Josh said, think outside the box, and no one does that better than this team here. So I'm not going to give you ideas because you guys probably already have them. But I'm nervous about, you know, November and December when people lock themselves in again and are afraid to go inside, that we should have things more for the outside. That's it.
Okay. Sorry, Chris. Parks.
So outside of my report, I just have a few things to touch on. It is finally raining again, so we did have a pretty significant drought in the end of July, early August. You will notice that we have lost a few trees throughout the park system. If you drive around, we had a number of trees that were in decline for a long period of time, and we were trimming them back, and they kind of just went ahead and gave up the ghost. Two in particular in Cock Park, there's one that's a little peaked in Lakefront Park, and one that's a little peaked in Cock Park. This fall, we will be doing a targeted fertilizing of our oak tree population just because we really want to make sure that we steward those assets the best that we can. So that is coming. A few other things. Athletic field, we are kicking off baseball and soccer. We have a lot going on, actually. They're playing on all of our fields, pretty much everywhere in the district. And it really feels like we're back up in business as far as that regard. Fall plantings, we're working on getting mums in at the high-profile sites, so we'll be seeing those the next month or so. In addition, park projects are really, as Lisa indicated, they're really kicking off. If you've seen Old Green Bay Road, it looks like there's about 1,500 stakes driven in out there. So one of the bits of feedback that I'm giving everybody is that the ribbons on the trees do not mean they're getting cut down. It means they're getting a tree protection fence. So we got a lot of calls about folks that were really concerned that trees that we were going to be cutting down several hundred trees along Old Green Bay Road. So the ribbons mean that they're getting fences. So we should see those fences going up here in the next week or so, and then wholesale excavation of the trail after that. So both projects are moving along very nicely. As well as the overlook, the retaining wall section down by the halfway house has been removed, and reconstruction will start shortly. Thank you.
Any questions for Chris?
I find, Chris, there's some construction going on at Central School. Is that getting in the way of our baseball park over there?
It is not.
That's the school's, it's the school's project. It's really nice. They're putting in a walking path and playground and activities for the junior high age group. So, very excited about that project they're working on. And they worked with Ultima New on it, so that's good.
Great.
I actually had a quick question. I don't know if this was Chris or Lisa, but and I don't know if this was where this should be raised, but just very briefly, it was described as legacy donors for the park benches, so that if the new park benches at Lakefront, you're just transferring the plaques onto the new benches. And I'm just curious, how long does a bench plaque last? And do we have a policy on that? Is that something we can discuss at a later time? Or what?
I can take that one. Before I arrived, there was no date put on those, so they're in perpetuity. So any benches prior to 2013, pretty much they were told that they would always have that bench there. And same with tree donations. And since then, we put it the life of the bench. So if the bench fails in 10 years, then the naming rights go away for that bench. If it lasts longer, we usually say about 10 years, if it lasts longer, then it stays on there until the bench is replaced. So.
Well, that's the
problem. Yeah, moving forward, yeah. And trees, I believe it's 10 years, or if it dies within 2 years, we replace it, but otherwise 10 years, right, Chris?
5 years.
I believe it's 5 years.
5 years, thank you. I was asking, you know, 5 years.
Okay. Anything else for parks and maintenance? All right. Marketing and communications, Erin.
I don't have a lot to add to my report other than we're really focusing on our website, email, and social media. We're not doing a lot of paper stuff anymore. We're not doing printed, getting into a printed guide, stuff like that. So I do think it's interesting to look at some of the statistics in there and that the website site traffic really did get driven the day that we released the guide online and opened registration. So typically August would be a slow month on the website, so that was good to see. Any questions?
Real quick question, Erin. I know we were, before you left to have your sweet little baby, we were talking about redoing the website and kind of a full rework of the website. Where are we with that?
Carol?
Well, really, there's money included in Fund 65 for that lease, but it was discussed early on in the pandemic to kind of put that on hold until we did get a bigger picture, I should say, and better and clearer picture of what was going to be happening in the first several months of that. So we are starting discussions for capital for next year, as well as can we open up additional monies even this fiscal year. So I think that would be something that the board, if interested, we could pursue.
So we'll just talk about that at a later time.
Yeah, we can bring it. I can put it as an item to talk in the October committee meeting.
Yes.
I for one would simply love to have, there's one part of the website where I think that I would love to see it working, and I don't remember if it was Bobby or that I asked, or you, Erin, that I asked, but man, I would love to see that calendar work when you sign a bunch of kids up for a bunch of different things. That, like, calendar of events, you know what I'm talking about, Bobby?
Mm-hmm. So that's a rec track thing, right? Not the website.
Yeah, well, I consider one of the same, but yes, that tracker, man, I would love that to just work.
It's
the registration. It's
a calendar form, like where your kid is supposed to be, what your kid signed up. You signed up.
So there
was, I agree with you.
There was $50,000 included to hire a consultant to look at all forms of our IT structure, and so that has been what's put on hold, because to do the website without knowing what we're doing with the registration system, amidst of everything that we have going on right now, was not a good idea to pursue one and not pursue it all and not have the consultant kind of take an all comprehensive look at what we're doing as far as IT.
As you said, Michael, a lot of people don't differentiate between the website and the registration software, so the idea initially was to do both at the same time, so it was a little more cohesive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're ever going to get your ROI on that, but I do think that it's probably one of those things that needs to be modernized, because it's fairly clunky. I will say,
we agree. That's why we put money aside to bring in consultants to look at all that. So just a point of comfort, if the board's comfortable with us continuing along that track, we can actually definitely do that. So we'll put it on the agenda for the committee meeting to discuss it moving forward.
You know, if it's really robust and easy nav, that's a whole website, we may be able to step away from our reliance on the printed brochure, which you wouldn't recognize. So I think there is a possibility.
Paper pedals.
Right. There's a possibility that if people become more comfortable and it's really good, useful website, we may be fine with that. So that would be a goal if it's possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else for Erin? Then we'll move on to the executive director report. Lisa will review items.
Excellent. Okay, so Chris talked about Connect Glenco. Jenny and Erin have been busy working on our sponsorship or donations for other parts of Connect Glenco. So we are getting some calls on that, and Jenny's been busy sending out information about either sponsoring the social spaces or benches or other parts of that, maybe the spray ground, things like that. So the community has been very interested in that. So hopefully we'll have more to report as we move on that one. Erin's also working on Inside Glenco. So we do have, I think Mr. Dudley asked about that. Are we doing anything paper? Some people like it. We are doing that with the village and the school district and the library. So that will go,
think our due date's end of September, so about end of October.
End of October.
So we will have that, and we'll probably feature our bonding, Connect Glencoe, things like that that are that maybe a little bit of watts or more of that big view of the park district in that one. Let's see what else. The Schumann Overlook, you talked about that already. Park 7N, we talked a little bit about that. The house moved on to a permanent foundation. So they'll start on the rest of the exterior of that building moving forward and make their deadline of 1 year. So we're watching that. Carol talked about that. Some of this is just a repeatable we already talked about.
Lisa, is there, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but is there any landscaping repair or other landscaping that needs to be done on that park, and who's responsible to do that?
They are responsible for total restoration of the park site. In addition, when I was out there yesterday, they told me that someone donated 2 trees to do a better block of one of the neighbor's houses that was concerned about the house. So they're going to be adding trees also to block some beautification. But they have to restore the park back to its original condition. So all that gravel, they have to take out, all that has to go out.
And put a sidewalk
for ADA accessibility. That's all their responsibility. And that should be the same timeline of finishing within a year.
Did they mind up putting a basement in or not?
No, they put a crawl space at it. Yeah. All right. I think I already talked about camp. This September 24th will be the 1 year anniversary of our gold medal. And we had all these big plans to celebrate. We were going to do a big street fest and anniversary date. And obviously, the pandemic kind of changed all those plans, unfortunately. But I can tell you that just through what I've seen the staff do and our board, there's no doubt why we're gold medal worthy and why we won the gold medal. Everything that we have done through this pandemic and changed and pivoted. So really proud of our team and our board for the way they lived up to that medal. So it's just big kudos to everybody. Unfortunately, I wish we could have celebrated more with the community to get awareness of that out. But Aaron will be working with Chris on doing little, I don't know what they'll be made out of, gold medals put on all the park signs and things like that. So
Awesome.
So any questions? Other than that, I think everything else that we talked about in the report. Any other questions?
Yeah, I know it's very premature, so maybe this is better to discuss at committee, but we should think about, how do we recognize the staff that have really just pulled it together this summer with the beach, this fall with the new school programs, with getting the park, with getting the ELC and Children's Circle up. You know, normally we do that at an end of year indoor gathering around the holidays.
Right.
That is looking less and less likely, but I would like to think about maybe do we bring something in a little bit and do something in October where it's not too freezing cold outside and we can do something to recognize them. Have you guys thought about that at all?
Yeah, we have actually. We've actually talked about it in our team meeting today. We did cancel the holiday dinner already. There's no way we can do that. So we're looking at different ways or what we could get them. Maybe, you know, any time we try to do bring food in, it's really difficult, especially if we have to do box lunches. So it's going back to the customer service team, but talk about maybe give cards out to for lunch, like to someplace they can go pick up lunch on their own or whatever. Maybe a bag of different items, you know, masks, apparel, things like that we could recognize them with. So we are working on that. I think I threw this out to Aaron, like maybe one day we could bring in a coffee truck and then one day bring in a food truck where they can go out there. So those are the different things that we've been thinking about, how we can show our appreciation. I totally agree with you, we want to keep on recognizing the great work they're doing.
I mean, I'd love to think about a way to do something, you know, where the board is somewhat involved And if we do like a, you know, three of them instead of one big one, think about it that way. You know, a skate night with some of these teams at Watts, if that's what it comes down to, or a, you know, have food trucks come down to the beach where you have a lot of room that you can socially distance up. I think there's something to be said for smart, intelligent, you know, 6 feet away face to face rather than, you know, here's a gift card and here's this and here's that. So that's my two cents, but there's no right answer here during these times. I think face to face recognition is pretty good.
Yeah, we're just really conscious of how many staff we bring together and from different areas. You know, we're really careful about that because, you know, for example, I don't even go to Watts right now because we don't want or it down to the ELC wing where I used to walk around all the time. I limit my, because we don't want to bring too many, overlap too many different programs and hurt our chance, but we're definitely thinking about different ideas like that. So I have to tell you, I really appreciate you bringing that up, that will mean the world to our staff that you're also thinking of that. We were talking about that today. So if you have any other ideas, please.
Jenny, make sure.
What?
Make sure it hits the minutes, Jenny.
There you go.
Yeah, Lisa, I do think food trucks at their place of business is a really nice thing, and not just do it a few times, you know, that kind of thing can be very appreciated, and prevents them from having to gather in a place all together, which you really probably just don't.
Exactly. Right. And even the cost, like a coffee truck coming in, or the after-school ice cream truck, something like that, so we're trying to figure that out.
Coach truck or something, if it's not too disruptive. Yeah. All right, anything else for Lisa? All right, I entertain a motion to approve an ordinance providing for the issue of approximately 4 million.
And I think there's one before that, Lisa.
On number eight.
Sorry. I entertain a motion to approve the policies and procedures for preparing and updating disclosures as presented.
Just to give you all a little history on this, this was something that was recommended during the bond issuance process by Chapman and Cutler, our legal bond counsel, as far as designating a disclosure officer, which would be me, and there's a lot of steps related to a bond issuance and preparing the preliminary official statement that goes out for the sale of the bond, as well as ongoing disclosure to the EMMA site, which basically is for Electronic Municipal Market Access, as far as ongoing disclosure once we do sell the bond. So this policy kind of encapsulates all of that and is something that they recommended that we do, and once we do approve it, it would be part of the financial policies and procedures book that we, or a policy booklet that we have for all of our financial procedures. So just to give you a little backdrop on that.
Thank you, Carol. So, I can reread this. I entertain a motion to approve the policies and procedures for preparing and updating disclosures as presented. Can I get
a motion?
Sorry, I was muted. I was trying to.
So move it. Second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Right then, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Ludden?
Yes.
Mr. Underdog?
Yes.
Mr. Warren?
Yes.
Mr. Covey?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes, motion passes. All right. I entertain a motion to approve an ordinance providing for approximately, and there's a correction here, 4,355,000 general obligation limited tax park bonds. Series 2020 for park improvements and for the payment of the expenses incident thereto, providing for the levy of a direct annual tax to pay the principal and interest on said bonds, and authorizing the executive of a bond execution of a bond purchase agreement with Piper Sandler and Company in connection with the sale of said bonds as presented.
Actually, just to clarify, it's not approximately, it is the issue amount is 4,335,000.
So that everywhere there everywhere that's written is a zero and a five should be switched.
Well, what happens for the packet, which the sale did not happen until today, there was an approximation and a sample bond ordinance. Today, once it was finalized, it is replaced with the actual bond ordinance with actual amounts, actual maturities, and percentages. So that's why the difference, and it just needs to be updated that it's not approximately 4.035, but it's really 4.335 in reality.
And what's the interest payment on it exactly?
Actually, that's why Eric's on the Zoom tonight. I want to just start by saying that really today and the whole process is a culmination of over the last 18 months. If you can all remember when we started talking about this early last year, 2019, kind of getting to the point where we did our BINA hearing in February of 2020, all set to issue the bonds, and then the pandemic hit and the shutdown occurred and kind of put everything on hold until there was some stability in the markets and we realized that we did want to still go through with this, knowing that our Watts issue was going to come off our final payment this year. So I just want to, again, go ahead, Michael.
Watts are taken.
No, it was the original Watts debt is going off in 2020.
All right.
So really, it's, we went through the Moody's bond rating process, and, you know, it's, I think, a testament that they affirmed and retained our AAA bond rating and really shows that we are managing through this pandemic. We've had strong fund balances, reserves that we've been operating with in the past few years, but really, and I think it's been brought up several times in this meeting about this management team and our employees and the board really committed to operating in the pandemic out of the box, and the things that we've been able to do and the programs that we've been able to provide to the community through it all. It just gets all reaffirmed in that AAA rating, which then leads to the actual sale today. So I'm going to hand it over to Eric Anderson of Piper, and if you could please just kind of go through what happened today, Eric.
Just for a point of procedure here, should we move the motion and then go to discussion?
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, if I could get a commissioner to move motion.
I will. So moved.
Second. Okay, now discussion. Thank you. Mr. Anderson.
Good evening, everybody. And I'll just make a comment on that AAA rating. We expected it, and yet it is indeed underscoring the district's management, not only pre-pandemic, but during the pandemic, and then prospectively. That's what ratings are, they're prospective. And so as far as Moody sees, the district will continue to retain its AAA rating going forward. I invite you to take a look at Carol's, the document that we presented to Moody's, which Carol is largely responsible for writing. Normally we do a lot of it. Carol took it upon herself and created an absolutely wonderful document that really talks a lot about what's happened at Glenwood Park District and what is to happen. So with that backdrop then, we were in the market today. Would you like me to share my screen so that I can go through the presentation part? Or?
Sure. Dundee, can you allow that?
Dundee.
Go ahead, Eric.
Okay. So I'm going to move this over here. Oops. Here we go. And that does not appear to be it.
There it is.
Okay. Do you see it now?
No, I did. Now I just see your email.
About now.
There you go. Yep.
Okay. All right. So $4,355,000 was the amount of the offering. If we go over, take a look at the transaction overview again. We sold those today. We closed them on the 7th, 9-year park vault, rated AAA. These are for park improvements. If we take a look at the orders by maturity, now when we produce this We hadn't sold the full book, as we call it, at that point. We actually received orders from 11 unique investors and receiving $6.12 million, we aren't going to underwrite the bond in 21, 22 now, because we wound up selling those just after the final price. We originally intended to do so. To take a look at the Series 2020 sources and uses of funds, we've got $4.355 million in par, plus a premium, a bond premium, that equals almost $4.6 million. We deposit $4.502 million to the project fund, and then cost of issuance of $76,107. That includes paying for the rating agency, ourselves, and bond counsel primarily, and some other ancillary fees. But take a look at the financing summary statistics over on that right-hand side. And what we see there is that arbitrage yield, or the average yield of the bond, is 1.431%, including all costs of issuance, 1.7%, for an average life of 10, almost 11 years. You issued just off of the bottom by about 3 or 4 basis points. We saw that last week across all of the maturities. And so not only was it in year one, but it was all the way out to year 20. So very favorable time to sell bonds. We did do a comparison to the Village of Glen Ellen, who did sell bonds on Thursday of last week. A little difficult to see. But in some years you are slightly higher, in some years you are slightly lower, but overall, favorable comparison. If we take a look at the callable bonds analysis on the next page, you see that callable par is right in this range here from 30 all the way through 39. $2.5, $2 million will be callable, but at a rate of 2%. So whereas in previous years we were sharing with you rates that were in the fours, maybe even fives, this one might be difficult to refund in the future to generate debt service savings at 2%. But 58% of the transaction is callable. Where that might come into play, by the way, is if the district, say 10 years from now, wish to enter another type of transaction, it could restructure that debt and then issue debt in conjunction with the refund. So that's why we always make things up.
Wouldn't it be hard though, Eric? I mean, you'd have to be in a world of give you a world of much lower interest rates at that point to make it worthwhile to call this bond.
From an economic standpoint, correct. From an issuance standpoint, maybe not.
If you want to
say we have our new rate is 2.25, close enough to 2, and it gets us a new project.
Right. Okay.
But we'll only be able to know that each and every year after the 9th year. So every day after December 1st, 2029, it's called.
Got it.
If we take a look at the debt service extension base, our goal was to make it flat. So in other words, we're not anticipating any CPI growth. So what you can see here is here's our debt service extension base. We know that already for levy year 2020 at almost $280,000. And then our Series 2020 limited bond debt service is shown right next to that, with the debt service extension base remaining largely positive, some negatives. If you get 0.7% CPI, it wipes out all of those. So we're not concerned about that whatsoever. But again, back to your wishes to be within $5,000 upper, plus or minus of the debt service extension base. Here's the graph. This would be a graph that would extend, the dashed line would extend debt service extension base at 1.5% per year. Notice that we kept ours level. So that triangle represents a triangle of future debt opportunity for the board to consider when it so desires. And then finally, here's the final scale and amortization. We use quite a few term bonds, and we use term bonds here because investors generally like to see on their books a value when you get out into those longer terms of at least $500,000 or thereabouts. And so in this case, we had to term up bonds two at a time. You have a mandatory redemption, so your payment isn't going to change. We go back to this right here. This debt service is exactly what you'll experience. We just structured it as serial bonds for the first 9 years, and then term bonds for the balance. And you can see the respective yields starting off at 0.35 and going up to 1.80%. The final section is just a market overview. It's really more for your reading pleasure. We know that tomorrow the Fed is going to be announcing the monetary policy, so we're glad we sold bonds today. We did see a little bit of nervousness in the market, but the Fed's not expected to do anything. It's always the color that they add that sometimes pushes people out of the market on a price we made. But we're very pleased with coming into the market now a day before. So at this point, I'd be happy to take any of the commissioners' questions.
I have a question.
Yes.
The actual issuing of the bonds, when does the money actually come in from the bondholder?
So on October the 7th, the district will receive this exact amount, $4,502,701. And that's when the bond issue officially closes. That's when on the other side, that's when the debt clock starts for the issue.
Okay.
By that, you mean how long we have to spend it?
No, I meant that's when interest is applied to the borrowing, beginning on that date. So from today, assuming that the board approves the sale, we lock in the price. And that price is locked in all the way through closing, and then, of course, thereafter. But you actually have 3 years to spend 85% of the $4,502,000 that you'll be receiving. And that's your reasonable expectation right now. So, for example, if you would have issued these bonds, let's just say in January, before we knew about the pandemic, comes in, projects may have been slowed. Your reasonable expectation wasn't that there was going to be a pandemic, but you have reasonable expectations already constructed in your capital expenditures that Carol has shared with you in the previous meeting. So we don't have any concern about you meeting that spend on requirement.
Eric, probably more of a question for Carol. Carol, why did I think that we couldn't go above 4.5? What was the cap on non-referendum bond for us?
Well, really all is determined by what the rate is on the bond. So we're dealing with an approximation.
Yeah.
And that's why we actually came up with 4.3 is what we had. We budgeted 4.5, which was when we passed it in March, came down to 4.3. So it changes based on the market.
But there was nothing, like, what was the... If we were to do X million dollars of bonds, we would have had to go to referendum. What was that X?
Referendum is completely separate from the non-referendum bonds. We're limited based on a certain percentage of our EAV, and so this is underneath that limit that we are allowed to expend. But non-referendum is different than the referendum debt, which is the take-up debt that we currently have on the books.
Yeah, no, I for some reason I thought that limit based on the EAV was 4.5, but obviously
You're actually recalling $4.5 million was the amount of the FINA hearing that we held.
Yeah. Okay, so the fact that we went over by 2701 is not a problem?
Oh, no, not at all.
That's really what I was trying to...
This has been fully reviewed by Chapman and Cutler today, and they have actually prepared the ordinances after reviewing all the documents to make sure that we're within bounds. Yes.
That's. I knew you guys did. I just wanted the explanation.
Sure. No, I appreciate the question.
Well, good job. I'm excited to see what interest rates are going to hit that tomorrow. It's going to be pretty interesting to see.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else for Mr. Anderson?
Thank you for all your work on this, Eric. I know it's been a long process and kind of came to a screeching halt there intermittently in March, but very happy that we're at this point today and really appreciate all your work and your patience in helping us get to this point.
You're very welcome, and you know, there's a few bright spots that have come out, not very many, but one of them here is that the district actually is paying quite a bit less than you would have had you been on your original issuance schedule. And I am trying, I will actually have it. I meant to do it today. I didn't get to it, but I will have that. I'll share that so that maybe Carol can share that with you at a future time. But certainly we were able to take advantage of that part of the pandemic.
Excellent.
I'd like to say something. I'd like to thank staff and our consultants for this. I want to stress that this was very much a considered process. It wasn't something that we did quickly. It was quite a deliberate process, a very careful process. We did delay things a little bit, but it turned out to be in our favor. Just wanted to thank everybody for that.
Okay, Mr. Anderson, thank you so much. Thanks for your patience and for laying it out so nicely for us. I appreciate that.
Sure, you're welcome.
Can we do a roll call?
Yes, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdonk?
Yes.
Mr. Boren?
Yes.
Mr. Covey?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Okay, so
very much.
We'll say goodbye. Good night to you.
Yes. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye. You're still sharing screen, by the way.
Eric, I will send the purchase agreement to you in the morning then.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
And Lisa Brooks, do you and I have to go somewhere and sign something at some point?
Yeah. Go somewhere and sign something. Yes,
we got to sign a lot of somethings. We are expecting the whole package of bond documents from Chapman and Cutler either later this week or on Monday. And I would coordinate with her. But if you could come kind of all at the same time and spread out distantly, that would be the easiest because there are a lot of documents, there are a lot of signatures, and we were kind of looking at next Monday or Tuesday. Are you both available for that?
Michael, if we could, is either day better for you?
In the Covey household, we are day by day people.
Okay, so you and I will coordinate Monday.
Give me 30 seconds, I'm pulling up my calendar.
But it has to be done Monday or Tuesday. We can't stretch it. The needs to do it too.
Can we just do it Monday at 3:00? Monday from 3 to 4?
Yes.
Let me confirm that we will have them. It most definitely will be, and then I'll make sure.
But Tuesday from 2 to 4 works well as well. If you want to just put Tuesday in, I'm happy with that.
Let's do Tuesday.
Okay.
Okay. Tuesday 2 to 4.
Yep.
Good. Thank you.
Okay, to my calendar.
Very good. And thank you, Carol.
Thank you.
Yeah. Big kudos to you guys. And I know it's incredible that we got this far. And I know that I was very concerned about the tax base and the economy. I'm really glad we've done our homework. We found out a small amount. We're going forward doing that right now. And it looks like this was a win for our constituents and Glencoe. So really nice job everyone doing the homework.
And I do look forward to finding out what that difference would be.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice little piece of information for everybody.
In perspective, United's bonds went out at 6%.
Ooh.
Ouch.
Okay.
I entertain a motion to approve renaming Park 7N to Ravine Bluffs Park as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Mr. Luggan?
Yeah, Lisa, I think you sent a couple of examples of comments that you had.
Yeah, we sent email out to all the neighbors and the historical sightings, so we had two neighbors that responded based on that email. One was very much in favor and one was not in favor. And the historical society indicated they were in favor.
Okay.
Why was someone not in favor of it?
They indicated that they didn't think that park was the beginning of that subdivision. That's a short way of saying it. They thought was the subdivision started after that park.
Okay.
And that maybe it'd be easier for people to find it on the right park. So.
Booth Park, actually, but yes.
Yeah.
Okay, if nothing further, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdog?
Yes.
Mr. Boren?
Yes.
Mr. Colby?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes. Okay. Next is, I entertain a motion to approve the fiscal year 2021-22 Fund 69 Capital Projects list as presented.
Second.
Discussion.
This is the same list we talked about at committee and approved. We just wanted to have this official motion so that we can go ahead and start to do our planning and expend some money to associate with that. So.
Anyone have any questions? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Mr. Underdog?
Yes.
Mr. Boren?
Yes.
Mr. Colby?
Yes.
Mr. Brooks?
Yes, motion passes.
One more.
I entertain a motion to approve the Altima New Incorporated Design Services contract. The services related to Kalk Park Phase 2 redevelopment in the amount of $36,455 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
You go, Stephanie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we know what the issue is. I'm wondering why we need, this is for the water, correct? So we already had a design. What do we need a plan for?
Chris?
We have no plan.
Exactly.
Yeah, this is to develop a design and construction documents and take it out to bid and execute the project. So it's not just a master plan. This is literally, we know we have a stormwater issue. We're going to develop a plan to address that issue, take it out to bid, and then fix that issue.
You have to have an engineer draw out those plans.
Oh, absolutely.
Take that water.
But there's more to it, too, correct?
Correct.
That's what a normal procedure for every park is to start. You have to have the engineer and architectural drawing for those plans in order to get permits.
I just thought this was we didn't fix it, it's something that we didn't do right the first time we're going back in,
It was part of phase two. We didn't do it. It's not that we didn't do it right, we just never did it. It was taken out of the scope of the project, so no plans were ever drawn up for that portion.
And how much is the plan?
We've earmarked $300,000 at this time for the plan, which includes this figure.
Which includes this piece.
Correct.
We don't have engineers and architects on staff, when we need them for the project.
Exactly. It represents a landscape architect, a civil engineer, an electrical engineer, and likely somebody to assist with the water as well. So it's a lot. There's a lot to it, to be honest with you, beyond just putting in some drains and kind of moving on from there.
So putting aside,
the design of the corner area is being redone.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least looked at.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. But that's all part of it.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
Lighting.
Which corner area are you talking about?
Entrance.
The stone wall.
Northwest corner. It has sort of a big stone.
Like where the sign is.
Sign and all that. Michael?
My only question was for Chris, in general, is 12% kind of that number that we, I don't know this stuff, you know better than me, is 12% that number that we, in the realm of the design?
Typically we see between 11 and 13.5. We pay closer to 14 for Berlin. It really depends on what the project is. In this project, if you see, there's a lot of civil engineering, which has kind of driven it up. I mean, if we weren't doing that, we might see it a little closer to 10. You can get bargain basement prices at 7, 7.5, but that's not a direction you want to go on a project like this. So I would say 12.1% is a pretty solid estimate considering, you know, our expectations and the types of designs that we do.
And this was that fee was very well known to the board when they hired also new as our landscape architect that was discussed and approved by the board at that time.
Okay, I mean, look, I that was my one question.
I think the we've all discussed extensively fixing the drainage issues at Kalk Park. I think the price of the design fee raises the question whether appropriately or not that there's scope creep and we're designing a redesign of the park, not just the handling the water. Could staff address that question or comment?
Chris, can you tell them what's included? I could go back and go.
So,
what's included in that? It was included in your report package.
Correct. So one of the things that we looked at initially was the initial kind of phase one design. We had a stomach or eyes that were bigger than our stomach, and we ended up cutting it back. So what we did is we put all the infrastructure in for the second iteration of the project. So we got the electric, we got the water, we got all those things that we needed for that to really be a centerpiece park in Glencoe, but we didn't really finish it. So we have to come back and look at things like irrigation around the gazebo so you're not driving a tractor into the park 5 days a week, 4 months of the year to water flowers. We've got a ton of really, in some regards, very negative feedback about removing the existing park lighting system. We did have some light poles that were in the park that had to get removed during the project because they were unsafe. So looking at some ambient lighting. Also, along the parking lot, all the shrubs were removed by the village, so now when you play basketball, it's really, really easy for your ball to end up down in the parking lot. So looking at some type of a barrier next to the basketball court as well to make that a much more usable site. So I think we initially kind of started the dialogue about saying, hey, we know we have a water problem, but if we're going to bring a contractor out and we're going to go through this process, we need to really just finish this park and be done with it and move on.
And that was
in the design fees, Lisa, if you see, I mean, we're looking at $17,000 worth of civil engineering alone. I mean, that's a pretty good chunk of this process. So, I mean, I know that we kind of have sticker shock every time we look at these consultant prices, but really, for what we want to accomplish and have it meet the standards of the community, I think we have to have a consultant who can work at this level.
I don't necessarily think it's sticker shock so much, Chris. I think, you know, we talked about Kalk Park, and I'm actually fine with this. I will say, you know, being on the board for a year and a half, but making it COVID, making it feel like it's 6 years, I will say it perpetually always surprises me that we always turn to Ultima New. I think they are phenomenal, but it perpetually surprises me that we don't have a backup on hand to kind of help at least us check, like, is this number right? Is it not right? That's why I asked if the 12% was that right number, and granted, that 12% could be, hey, look, they said it's 36, so we're going to add 80% or 88% on. That, to me, is the surprise here. I don't have sticker shock. I have, I'm just surprised that we, you know, get one bid for everything, it seems like.
Well, Michael, and you weren't on the board, so you do know this, but the board chose this as architecture firm. They brought in, I believe the staff interviewed like six architecture firms, and we brought two into the board. The board chose this firm, and usually when that happens, you don't go out to bid every time you do a project. We could bring in different firms every time. You don't get that continuity.
It can be really tricky with continuity between projects, because one of the things that we do is we stack a lot of our things so we can be very judicious with our spending. So instead of paying four different architects to go to four different site meetings, we have all three meetings the same day in 3-hour period. So things like that, really, I think if we want to evaluate Ultima New or any type of an architect, effectively, to find a consultant that can work at the level that's necessary in a community like Glencoe, you're going to be between 12 and 15%. And I, you know, when we brought them to the board, one of the big concerns about the board was the cost of Hitchcock Design at the time on the projects we were doing and the level of creativity. So when we brought Ultima New in, we actually brought them in at a lower cost than the previous consultant, and we really were focused on the types of less cookie cutter calendar projects that they had in their portfolio at the time. So that was kind of the marching orders that the staff were given, is find somebody whose stuff looks really unique versus Hitchcock, where they could drop a park in Schaumburg and it looks like the same park in Glencoe.
Yeah.
I mean, Lisa, is that a fair?
Yeah, very great. And Lisa Brooks is tough.
I mean, because Hitchcock was a fine firm. They did a great job, but they definitely were a little bit more of the clean cut, less imaginative, less, you know, there was not a lot, as much character to the designs as there is to Ultima New.
Correct. Well, I certainly think this tells us water remediation when you add in all the components is very expensive.
Yeah,
it's not a simple thing, and it's not expensive to take care of, so. Okay, any other questions?
Other questions, Lisa?
Dudley, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Lisa, I just want to say again, from a sustainability standpoint, that I would like very much for them to take a look at non-structural approaches. I'm glad that there's both an engineer and a landscape architect involved in this review. That is the best current practice, and we'll see what they come up with.
Dudley, we will, but I think we also talked that this park is very much a programming park, and we need the available space to do that programming in that park, especially the front part of the gazebo. So wetlands may not be appropriate for this particular site, but maybe for Shelton. But we also have to remember, when we go down that road of sustainability, we also have to figure in the increased costs for maintenance of those areas, so that will always be a part of that. So maybe cheaper at the beginning, it may end up being more cost for contractors in the past. But we'll always look into that. But I thought Clark, we were pretty clear that the front, we needed all that space for programming, wedding, to use that gazebo to its fullest extent.
Yeah, well, green engineering is more than just that, though. I mean, we have the lighting to look at.
Different
kinds of site management, water management. I'm just saying that it doesn't hurt to have them take a look at it. It's a very rapidly growing area in civil engineering, and want them to be aware of that, and that there's a concern in the community, especially on the sustainability task force. That we look at things through that lens. Now, there's times when it doesn't make sense. You know, if it costs a small fortune or it interferes with the primary goals, no, we won't do it. But there's a lot we can do in that area. That's all I've got to say.
Noted.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Dudley. All right, is there anything else?
Is that a roll call?
Yep. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Ludden?
No. And may I just comment on that, Lisa?
Yes, oh yes, absolutely. Go ahead.
I'm not voting no because I think that the water issues don't need to be addressed. I think we've discussed that extensively. It's just that, to my recollection, which maybe staff will correct me, but to my recollection, this is the first time I've ever heard about redoing the entry to the park or fixing something related to the basketball or the lighting.
I agree. I don't remember ever talking about the lighting, and I actually remember us saying that we weren't going to do the basketball.
We're not doing, so we did talk about the lighting. That's in your documents if you look at the binder that we handed out to you. The basketball, we're not doing anything to the basketball courts except for the line of bushes, so, you know, that's not a big thing. We did definitely talk about lighting, definitely talked about the water retention issues. And as far as the entrance, it's just looking at that area. So it's not, may not do anything to it, but just looking at maybe doing some stuff pointing on the walls and stuff, and things like that.
Some of that stuff is in pretty tough shape when you get up close to it. So it's really looking at some of the planting beds that have gotten pretty out of control, making sure that those are planted with appropriate native plantings, things like that. It's not as much as like an overhaul, like a whole decorative plaza like we have across the street at Veterans Park. It's more of a, you know, let's make sure that this area is going to be ready to be okay for the next 15 to 20 years like the rest of the park. That was the thought process. So we had previously kind of discussed the water, irrigation, having irrigation around the gazebo and the flower beds that are there to cut down on those operating costs. And when we talk about park lighting, Josh, we were, you know, thinking one or two poles, not anything that's like a supermarket parking lot or anything like that, more of an ambient lighting, that type of a thing. So we have we've already incurred the significant expense of pulling in an electric service to the park. So you're probably talking about an amenity that's maybe $6,500 a pole, something like that, once you get to the design process.
We have a lot of people that use that as a walking to the train. And so come fall when it gets dark, or, you know, they really use that and have requested that. So
when you guys did come, I don't think I was on the board yet. I think it was right before. So you didn't do any lighting then, or did you mention you took out lighting that people discussed or commented on?
We had two poles in the park, and a staff member actually got electrocuted out on a park inspection during the project. And because of that, we had to remove those poles. So that was a bit of feedback that we got after the project from a lot of the people who were used to walking through it, is, hey, what happened to the lights? Where did we go with that? You know, can we come back and put them back in later? You know, where are we at? Which was part of the big reason that we pulled in the size electric main that we did, was, you know, for potential future expansion.
You can always, after, when you get the design, that's when we tweak things and when things come into bid, you know. So besides, I don't want to do any plantings in front of the sign. You can always say that. That's usually when we go back and clean things up.
Yeah, I mean, as you can tell from like last meeting and this meeting, when we go back into projects we already done, that's where my comfort level is not.
But the project wasn't totally finished. It was only a phase one, and the board knew it at the time that it was only a phase one. So it wasn't that we didn't do it. The board made a conscious decision not to do it at that time.
So I think if we were to look at this and say, okay, well, what would the fee look like if we removed the lighting and removed the planting? I mean, we're still going to see this at an 11.5%. I mean, Commissioner Zonderdonk's comments, you know, looking at things through a green lens, the expectations of this community, those are the things that drive the cost of projects up. So I think that if we look at this, if we're talking about the difference between 11% and 12%, we're talking about $3,600. So I think is it that much of a concern? Because we're not going to come back to Ultima New and get a 9.5% project on this. They're just not going to work for that.
Well, it's $3,600 in the design fee, but it's So all those things add up in the project fee too. So it's, you know,
significant. Which would all be available for the board to, you know, their purview, obviously, those costs.
To approve it, yeah. So when Josh.
I would just point out, this is the first I've heard about irrigation as well. It, again, to my recollection, we've talked about fixing a drainage issue. And so I'm not necessarily, I didn't vote no because of the amount of the fee or because it's 11% or 12%. I'm just surprised that perhaps we're setting an expectation with Alt and the New that creates kind of a train going down a track of, oh, we're doing drainage and we're doing irrigation and we're doing lighting and we're doing an entry, when that wasn't my expectation of what we were doing. If I felt like we had discussed that before and we felt like that's what we have in mind for this park, I'm pretty sure I'd be voting yes.
Well, do you want to bring it back to committee and talk about committee again, what every aspect of this project is? Because I thought we had discussed that. So we can take it back to committee and say, decide if you want to put the lights in, if you want to do the irrigation, and Chris can explain more of the staff benefits for that. The time we save from staff having to come in and water plants and the long run saving of that. I mean, irrigation is an important part of park planning for one of our highest profile parks too. Keep it looking, you know, during droughts to keep the grass looking good, to water the flowers that are used to part of the signature park, things like that. So the amount of staff time it takes to bring those water trucks in is substantial when you compound it over the years. So putting an irrigation system in now will save us money in the long run.
You know, for what it's worth, Lisa, my recollection of our discussions were pretty lengthy about Cock Park in the last meeting. I, for one, don't care too much about whether or not you're putting in bushes or berms or this or that. I think my perspective is, from the overall thing, you know, I think the question is, does the board feel like this? I feel like for some reason, people on the board don't feel that confident about the knowledge about what you want to do with it. I, for one, am okay with, I think you guys have our best interest in mind, and I haven't seen a park out there that hasn't impressed me yet that we've done recently. So, I think the question is for Josh or potentially Stephanie, if you guys want to bring this back to committee, I, for one, feel pretty comfortable with where you're going. I think we kind of talked about last committee at length about, you know, finishing up Cock Park. And we had a lot of discussion about it. And I thought finishing up Cock Park was just drainage. And you guys made it pretty clear that it was much more than that. So, I don't know.
Should we just finish the vote and see what happens and then
let's finish the vote, and if we need to, we'll take it back to committee. So, okay. A roll call vote, please. Should we start over, or Josh?
Josh voted ready, so I'll go to Stephanie. Commissioner Warren?
I'd like to take it back to committee, so I'll say no.
Mr. Underdog?
Yeah.
One?
Let's take it back to the...
Oh, no. You're voting no?
I'm voting no.
Okay. Commissioner Colby?
I vote yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
I vote yes. So we will take it back to... Motion fails. We will take it back to committee. Lisa, you could get it on the agenda for the next committee meeting.
I sure will.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
We don't have a executive session. And I have no other business.
No other business. Okay.
Motion adjourned.
Here we go. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second?
Second.
I think we do a roll call, sorry, because of...
Okay.
Mr. Underdog?
Yes.
Commissioner Luggan?
You're on mute, Josh?
Yes. Yes.
Commissioner Warren? Commissioner Covey?
Yes.
President Brooks?
Yes. Motion passes.
All right. Thank you so much.
Good night.
Good night, guys.